This story is the story of the recruitment of Jesus' followers. And it is the most elaborate of the call stories in the gospel tradition. And it's the best one. This is a wonderful story of Jesus getting into Simon's boat and this miraculous catch of fish, and Simon is just blown away and decides to follow Jesus. That is his call, is seeing this catch of fish and then of Jesus saying, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." And he and James and John follow him. So this story has that dynamic of the first contact, the first time in Simon Peter's life when he met Jesus and when his life forever was changed. So it has that dynamic of the recognition of the one who would be then the Lord of his life and would be the one who determined his future. The background of this, in terms of other stories that are like it, are the story of Elijah calling Elisha. In 1 Kings 20, he threw his mantle over Elisha while he was plowing, and Elisha immediately recognized what that meant and said, "Let me go tell my parents and I'll follow you." And he sacrificed the oxen that he was plowing with and gave it away and left everything and followed Elijah. And this happened immediately after Elijah's encounter with God at Mount Horeb. The order of this story in the gospel is different than in Mark, or rather in Luke. There's the initial preaching at Nazareth, and then the stories of the man with an unclean spirit and Simon's mother-in-law and the sick of the village, his prayer, and then moving on. And the call of the disciples follows then the first day Sabbath in Capernaum. So the first Sabbath is in Nazareth when Jesus preaches and they want to drive him out. And the second Sabbath is Capernaum, which is in Mark is Jesus' first blitz on the powers of evil. So this is an indication, because the stories are so similar, that Luke probably learned Mark's stories and then rearranged them in a different order, as well as recasting a significant number of them, including the story of the call of Simon Peter, James, and John. And in Luke's story, Andrew is not present. Also, another dimension of the background of this is that this is another story of the miraculous catch of fish tradition, of which another example is the story in John 21, which is a post-resurrection appearance, where Jesus tells them to throw their nets on the other side, having fished all night long and caught nothing, and they catch a great catch of fish, and that's how they recognize who Jesus is. So this is the memory of a miraculous event that became a storytelling tradition, and different forms of the same story circulated. So that's a little background about this. Now, the telling of this story is a great story to tell. At the beginning, Jesus is teaching. The crowd is pressing in on him to hear the word of God, and his solution is to get into one of the boats that is there on the shore. And it's Simon's boat. And this part of the story is a calm, relatively quiet story of a teaching day and of Jesus dealing with the enthusiasm of the crowd and everybody who wanted to hear his teaching. So after he's finished teaching, he tells Simon put out into the deep water and let down the nets. Jesus' voice here is friendly, authoritative, warm. It is clearly a way of offering Peter some payment for being able to use his boat. Simon's voice is a voice of skepticism. He was an expert fisherman who had worked all night long for nothing. So he was, in the first part of his statement, I think he's unduly or appropriately skeptical. Teacher, you know, we have fished all night long and caught nothing, but if you say so, we'll let down the net. Simon's voice is the voice of a fisherman. He was a businessman, an entrepreneur who ran his own fishing business, and he was strong. So the tone of Peter's voice needs to be then that of, you know, of a businessman and of a strong man. The catch of fish in the story is sudden and explosive. It is a big, immediate crescendo. They caught so many fish that the nets were starting to break, and they called their partners in the boat, and they came and they filled both boats. It's a big story there, and it's an incredible surprise. So in telling the story, you want to make that as surprising as possible. Simon's response is like Moses at the burning bush. He recognizes that he is in the presence of holiness. He gets down on his knees and tells Jesus, "Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." So he acknowledges his own unworthiness to be in Jesus' presence because he recognizes that he is in the presence of a holy man. And he also was amazed at the catch of fish, as were his partners, James and John. Jesus' response is calm and strong. No, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. The call of Simon is then this description of his future vocation. And so James and John and Simon left everything and followed him. It is in the tradition of Elisha, who left everything to follow Elijah, and of the other prophets of Israel. What I would emphasize in the telling of this story is to make the catch of fish as big as possible, and then also the extreme of Simon Peter's response and falling on his knees. You might want to kneel down at that point in the story. It's awkward because immediately then you have to get up and tell the part about Jesus. And so it's easier to point to Peter kneeling down at Jesus' feet rather than to dramatize it. The overall impact of this story is that everyone who hears it can identify with Simon. There is more development of Simon's character and his interaction with Jesus than in any of the other call stories. And the experience of unworthiness to be called to follow Jesus is a common experience of the prophets and of the disciples of the prophets. It's the same as Moses and Isaiah. You know, Isaiah, in response to his vision, says, "You know, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." It's that sense of being unworthy and unclean that Isaiah experiences and that Peter experiences. This story is an invitation to identify and share our experiences of being called by God to be part of Jesus' mission. It is also a time to issue a call to discipleship. You know, people may experience this story as one that addresses them and in which they encounter Jesus calling them to follow him. And if so, you might want to invite people to come forward and acknowledge that and make a commitment to follow him. But everyone who hears this story has the possibility that that this will be an occasion when they will experience a sense of being called to follow Jesus. So I had fun telling this story. It's one of the great stories in the gospel tradition.